Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Here's your money briefing for Wednesday, March 29th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Before we get into today's topic, we wanted to let you know that we're starting a new special series on home buying this Friday, just in time for spring. So make sure you're following the show so you don't miss the first episode, and maybe tell a friend. Workers may still be in short supply, but many companies still face the difficult task of having to lay off employees.
Well, at many companies, it's the top leaders, the CEO, the chief financial officer, who set a high-level criteria for a layoff, mandating that a company cut a certain percentage of its workforce or reach a specified cost savings.
But how do companies decide which employees will be let go? We'll talk to WSJ workplace reporter Chip Cutter after the break.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
When a company announces plans for layoffs, everyone dreads the list. But how do companies decide which employees to cut? WSJ workplace reporter Chip Cutter joins me with more. Hey, Chip, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So, Chip, it sounds like this isn't an enjoyable process for anyone, but what are some of the basic factors that go into instituting a series of layoffs?
Well, at many companies, it's the top leaders, the CEO, the chief financial officer, who set a high-level criteria for a layoff, mandating that a company cut a certain percentage of its workforce or reach a specified cost savings. And from there, the task of deciding who should be eliminated often falls to divisional leaders and department heads, according to many of the executives that we spoke with.
All right, so take us through the typical process here, starting with a company who is recognizing the financial need to cut back workers, and then up until the actual layoffs.
So department leaders are told to come up with a proposed list of individuals to lay off based on a set criteria. So that could include anyone who got a low rating in a recent performance review or who joined the company in the past 6 months. Managers will then compile this list of employees to let go. And oftentimes, it's interesting, companies will give these layoff documents code names, like Project Falcon. So the file's purpose is unclear if it is accidentally discovered. In addition to reviewing an employee's performance history, many companies also consider workers' potential to adapt and take on new jobs in the future. One CEO told me it's really down to a one-on-one assessment of performance in determining who you're going to keep.
Now, you mentioned that it could be employees that have been with the company for only about 6 months that could wind up on the layoff list. So how much does seniority or length of service at a company factor into this?
Well, today it's much more common for companies to conduct layoffs based on skills rather than tenure. So an employee's recent performance will factor into this a lot more than someone's length of time at a company. Employees with high salaries also might face greater attention, though corporate advisors say those workers might also be among a company's top performers, so maybe it doesn't make sense to cut them.
You know, Chip, you haven't mentioned human resources yet. Doesn't that department have a say in who stays and who goes?
Many think it is the job of HR to select the individual employees to terminate, though it's often far more likely that it's the business leaders in each area of a company that suggest names of employees to target. So it's not HR doing this work. It's oftentimes the divisional heads, the department heads, selecting the individual names. And once individual employees are identified, HR then gets to work in scrubbing the list, looking to see if a company is, for example, disproportionately laying off people over the age of 40, or unfairly targeting minorities or veterans or other groups. Any kind of discrimination like this could open an employer to a lawsuit. And so companies also sometimes rely on outside help in this too. They might buy tools or software or engage lawyers to sift through a layoff list to look for any possible red flags.
All right, so when the list is being finalized for the layoffs, is that a done deal or is there ever room for negotiation?
Well, debates are frequent. Everyone I talked to for this said there's oftentimes a lot of back and forth, a lot of revision. Some managers might attempt to jockey for certain employees to remain, and disputes can emerge between leaders about the philosophy of a layoff, say whether to cut a layer of middle management or to fire more executives over frontline employees. And even when companies decide to shut down entire business units, executives might make the decision to keep some high-achieving employees and move them elsewhere. So lots of room for debate.
Now, you spoke to executives at the business software company Okta about recent layoffs that were carried out there. How did they decide who to cut?
This was an interesting example. In February, Okta said it would cut 300 employees, or 5% of its staff, after the company said, like others, that it overhired in the pandemic. And so many departments across the company were given specific financial cost-cutting targets to meet. And they did so in different ways. So some of the innovation and product development teams gave priority to keeping people who were working on projects and goals that seemed achievable in a 3-year timeline versus a 5-year one. And Okta elsewhere in the company eliminated some salespeople who were focused on small and medium-sized businesses in North America. So you could just see the different choices that the company made here.
Sounds like the common theme here is that sales is a good place to be.
It can be. Those who bring in revenue can maybe be a little more safe if they're seen as core to the company. But it depends on what the company does. It depends on what a company decides it needs to focus on over the next couple of years.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal workplace reporter Chip Cutter. Chip, thanks for being with us on the show.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.